John Nichols, please keep Brother John in your prayers. You want that fan off, Brother John?
Yeah, I'm mute. Not that I won't be sweating. Huh? We would ask an interest in your prayers as we stand before you for a few moments this morning. Didn't know for certain I'd be here today. Having appointments is a good thing. You don't have to worry about where you're going to be. You're committed to be there, but having a free Sunday sometimes can be a little odd and awkward, figuring out where the Lord would have you to go. So we trust that He has sent us this way, and we trust that our time with you would be to His praise and to His glory. And we think about the love of God. I was asked what I've been up to, and I hope and trust I've been about the Lord's business, but you know, we being who we are, sometimes what we think we're doing is not necessarily what He would have us to do. But it would be our prayer this morning that He might be with us, not only me, that you would not only pray for me, that what you would pray for one another. And Jonah has been on my mind the last couple of days. We think of Jonah, I guess, you know, we as ministers can relate to Brother Jonah. But, you know, as I was thinking about it, you know, Jonah is, he's a picture of who we all can be from time to time. We all can be sort of a stubborn little sheep, not necessarily wanting to do what God would bid us to do. And, you know, we think about Jonah, we always think about Jonah and that big fish that the Lord prepared for him and how miraculous that was. But if we think about the love of God and we think about the love that God had for Jonah as well as the people of Nineveh and the love that He has for us as His children today. I'd like to just read a few verses here, starting at chapter 3, and down at verse 10 of chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. That understanding that Jonah had disobeyed God and he went off in another direction, as we often do ourselves, and he was on board this ship, and a great storm came, and the men of the ship were frightened because they thought they were going to die, and the end result is they just threw Jonah off the boat, because Jonah was the cause of all their trouble. Well, Jonah got thrown off the boat, but God loved Jonah, and God had prepared a fish for Jonah. And as Jonah is in the belly of that fish, you hear him cry out to God. And so Jonah finally repents and heads on to Nineveh as God had bid him to do in the first instance. Now we all know that if Jonah did what God had told him in the first place, he wouldn't have to be swallowed up by the fish. But sometimes we find ourselves taking those same kinds of side trips, so to speak, that Jonah took himself. So verse 10, it says, "And God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He said that He would do unto them, and He did it not." Now we're talking about the people of Nineveh. Jonah was called to go and to proclaim to Nineveh that which God bid him to do, and Jonah refused to do it, but eventually he went to do it. And as he did that, you see the entire city, including the king, the entire city repented of their transgressions and turned unto the Lord. And you would think that that was a good thing.
Yeah.
You would think that it was a miraculous thing. And, you know, I know Brother Gary would agree. If we preached to a crowd like that and they repented and turned unto God, that would be a good thing. But Jonah didn't think so.
In fact, chapter 4, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly.
Right.
And he was very angry. And Jonah was miffed. I mean, you know, Jonah wasn't just upset. Now, God has sent Jonah to preach to these people at Nineveh. It turned out to be, it's like 120,000 people, I think, if you add that up. And he did what God told him to do. And so God repented, and he did not destroy that city. And rather than Jonah rejoicing and praising God, Jonah was miffed about the whole thing. And he says in verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? In other words, Jonah is saying, God, didn't I tell you that you were going to do that anyway? So see, Jonah viewed this whole thing as sort of a waste of his time. I mean, God wanted him to go and to preach to these people. And he didn't think it was needful because he figured that God was going to do what God was going to do anyway. You know, brethren, we're not God. And sometimes, though, if you think about what Jonah was thinking in his head, we oftentimes find ourselves as God's children acting just like he does. Now, we may not want to confess it. Maybe God hasn't revealed it to you in such a manner. But brethren, you know, we go about seeking our trust to do the Lord's will. You know, I had thought maybe the day I would go somewhere else. And I struggled with that. I struggled with that. And I woke up this morning about 5 o'clock, I guess. I couldn't get back to sleep. I said, well, maybe where this sinner thought he might go is not where the Lord would want him to go after all. So I find myself here today. And one of the greatest memories I have is when I came to the old church. And I was sort of teetering as to, should I or shouldn't I? Is this what the Lord would have me to do or should I not? You know, there is something about our nature that doesn't like change. It's almost, with Jonah, it's almost as though he preferred to see that city just transgress against God and go the other way, rather than seeing them praising God. Well, when I was at that point to make a decision as to, you know, do I unite with the old church, or do I stay where I am, or do I go elsewhere? I sort of remembered Jonah and that all of that thought process. I said, you know, God bid Jonah to go somewhere, and Jonah didn't want to go. I find myself back then, I find myself here today, not today, but back then, I find myself wondering, okay, where would God have me to go? I don't want to be like Jonah. I don't want to be chastened by God for failing to do what God had clearly showed me that it was his will in my life. You know, brethren, that happened then. And I was moved, I trust, by the Spirit, that this is where God would have the sinner to go. And we united with Bethel Washington Church. You know, brethren, all through our lives, I mean, that's just one instance of the Spirit of God moving in his children's lives to bid them to do some work. Bid them to do something, bid them to go somewhere, bid you to share the gospel, bid you to do whatever he bids you to do. And oftentimes we find ourselves thinking it ain't worth my time. Oh, I just don't have time for that. Or somebody else can do that. God doesn't need us to do anything. God is God.
Amen.
He will glorify his name regardless of whether you do anything or I do anything. He will be glorified.
Amen.
But to be blessed by God, to be an instrument that he might somehow use this unworthy vessel of mine to his praise and to his glory, brethren, is reason for us to be glad, is reason for us to rejoice, and is reason for us to praise the Lord our God.
Amen.
And not to, per se, react like Jonah did. like he was purely a waste of time. That God was going to deliver these people, and that God didn't need Jonah. Well, Jonah was right, and God didn't need Jonah, but God had purpose that he was going to use Jonah. Regardless of what Jonah thought about it, God had purpose that he was going to do it that way. And you see all the havoc that Jonah reaped simply because he wanted to do it his own way. Brethren, Scripture tells us that God changeth not. That same God who chastened Jonah is able and will chasten you and I.
Yes, he will.
He hasn't changed. I mean, just because we don't hear about a prophet or one of God's ministers being swallowed up by a big fish, that doesn't mean God has changed. And does not mean that God will not chasten those that he loves. You see, brethren, he loves us with that same love in which he loves his son. We read that in John 17 when Jesus praying to the Father. He loves us with that same love. We can't even begin to measure or even comprehend in our natural minds the love of God. His love, brethren, is so magnificent, so grand, and so great that we, mere mortals, can't even begin to comprehend the magnitude of it all. You know, Brother Charles was praying about the cross, and God sending his son. You know, sometimes, brethren, we hear that so often that sometimes we just forget the significance of it all. You know, God's children are funny. You know, I had this weird dream, Brother Gary. I'm going to share it with you because I think it's kind of relevant. You know, I had this dream not too long ago, and I was in this big crowd of people. I was preaching in front of this big crowd of people. And I got finished preaching, and everybody was clapping, everybody was happy. And then I found myself, as I was coming out of the dream, I said, that ain't true. That ain't true, because it was like, if I can remember, it was like it was not the true gospel. It was a universal atonement. I think that's what it was, where basically no hellers, but in the sense that everybody's going to go to heaven. Jesus died for everybody, and everybody's going to go to heaven. And who wouldn't be happy about that? But you know, brethren, that ain't the truth. The truth of the matter is that God has a people.
Yes,
and that, and then Jesus came to this earth, being verily man and verily God for a particular people.
Amen.
And we have a hope, brethren, not by our works, not because God just simply swept all of our sins under the rug, but we have a hope, brethren, when Jesus hung on that cross, that he who was without sin at all became sin for us.
Right.
That he bore our sins on Calvary's cross, and that in the Father's wrath being poured out upon him, brethren, that he stood in our stead to receive that punishment that we were justly due. You see, then that is the gospel and not the other thing that everybody was all happy about. And you know, you have a dream like this, so wow, let me run over there so I can have all these people being happy. And well, you can be happy, and you can be happy, brethren, about false things. Or you can be happy about the truth. You see, it's better to be happy about the truth, because then we are blessed to see more clearly the love that God has for particular people. And Jonah goes on here and he says, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now all these attributes that Jonah is talking about of God are true. God is all of those things. But you see, Jonah is using the attributes of God as his excuse not to do what God bid him to do. Jonah's saying, well, God, you're so great, that's why I went the other way. That's why I disobeyed you, you see. It's not necessarily that I disobeyed you because you needed me to do this, but I disobeyed you because I knew you were going to do it anyway, because you're merciful. Well, you see, you remember the city that God destroyed? Sodom and Gomorrah?
Right.
Remember that? God had a people in that city. But what did he do? He sent a messenger and he pulled them out. He pulled them out of that city, but he destroyed it. You know, brethren, while we might think we know God, and I think we're blessed to know, as Jonah, he knew certain things about God. He knew God was a loving God. He knew that God was merciful. He knew that God is long-suffering. But we don't know the mind and purpose of God. You know, Scripture tells us that God's thoughts and ways are so high that we can't attain to them. Well, we can't read God's mind. We can't predict what God's going to do. I mean, we pray and we hope that God is in that prayer, and that God indeed would answer that prayer in some similitude as to what we're asking. But the bottom line is that when we pray, we ought to pray as his son demonstrated, in the sense that while I would wish that that thou would be merciful in this sense, but who am I, be it not this old lowly one's will, but that thy will be done.
Amen.
Because we don't know, brethren, we have a hope, but we don't know how God might move in a particular matter.
Right.
And for us to be so... think so highly of ourselves that we know what he's going to do is definitely going down the wrong track, brethren. We need to bow down. We need to cry out that our Heavenly Father would be merciful to us in spite of ourselves. You see, God showed mercy to Jonah in spite of Jonah. You know, Jonah could have just as easily perished in the sea. All kinds of things could have happened to Jonah. But God showed mercy unto Jonah. But yet we see that Jonah doesn't want to see any mercy showed to anybody else. I mean, brethren, we think about all of those that would, you know, Scripture tells us to pray for those, pray for our enemies, or those that would despitefully use us, and that we're supposed to pray for them. You know, brethren, we don't know who our brethren really truly are in this world.
No, we don't.
We from time to time, we're blessed to exchange greetings with them, and if the Spirit witnesses that there is a commonality there, that we're of the same spirit. But to know who they are, brethren, I mean, like Jonah was so angry at a merciful God who had shown him mercy, delivered him out of the sea, delivered him, prepared a great fish for him, delivered him out of the fish, and showed mercy upon 120,000 others, and Jonah was upset. He was upset. He says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Man, imagine that. Imagine our minds being so removed from the things of God that we would rather see ourselves be dead than to see God glorify his name in delivering his people. You know, brethren, we think about that, and we know that God has a people in every nation. And we go by certain churches and we say, you know, why do they do what they do and all these kinds of thoughts, brethren? God has a people everywhere.
Amen.
And brethren, what would we do if God took this this mega church who was seemingly going all the wrong direction, and let's say he sends Brother Gary over there. Brother Gary, I want you to go over to this church and I want you to preach unto them that they must repent of their ways, they must turn around, and they must follow me. Now, is Brother Gary going to go? Or is Brother John going to go? Do we think that we're going to be laughed at and ridiculed or even thrown out of the building? But if God bids us to go, brother, we go.
We
got
to
go. If He bids us to go, we got to go. I mean, that is who we are. When we say, this is my story. My story is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. If He is my story, brother, I go where He bids me to go.
Amen.
Whether I want to or not. It's not about whether we want to in a natural way. Brethren, we serve He who holds our life in His hands. And Jonah would say that, well, I'd rather just go ahead and die. Go ahead and take me home, Lord, because I don't want to do this. So just take me home now. Brethren, one of the greatest blessings that we will receive in this time world is to walk in obedience with the Lord our God. There is a sweet rest and a sweet deliverance when we're obedient as God's children to simply trust and obey Him and not try to think it out all ourselves. Right. Trust in Him, brethren, with all of our heart, all of our understanding. Lean not upon our own understanding, but obey Him.
Right.
And acknowledge Him in all of our ways, brethren. And He will not suffer you to be lost. He will not suffer you to be scorned. He will deliver you by His hand, brethren, because He is Lord of all.
Amen.
He is Lord of all of His creation. Do we not think He has the power to deliver us? Fear not, brethren, those who are able to destroy this natural flesh. They may destroy this natural flesh, but they will never sever that relationship that we have. Because God's love, brethren, will never suffer us to be separated from Him. We read that in Romans' letter. There is nothing that will ever separate God's children from Him. Because that love, brethren, is grounded. It is secure in the blood of the Lamb who has redeemed us unto God. It says, Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? It's a question He's asking Jonah. So Jonah went out in the city, and he sat in the east. When he went out pouting, sat on the east side of the city. There he made a booth and sat in the shadow till it might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come over Jonah's head and made a shadow over his head to deliver him from grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad. Now, okay, now he has something to sort of shield him from the weather and think he's happy now. And the sun is not beating down on him. Well, see, that night God sent a worm.
Yeah.
Well, see, the old worm ate the gourd up. And then Jonah was really upset then. The sun was beating on his head and he was really upset then. Says God, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and it smote the gourd and let it wither. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted and wished to in himself to die. And boy, he's constantly in this mode of I want to die. Just relieve me, God. I just want to die. Just take me out of this world so I don't have to endure any of these things. Well, God wasn't finished with Jonah. But yet, Jonah still didn't see. And the last part of this, and God said to Jonah in verse 9, Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And Jonah says, and he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Yeah, I'm angry. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like Jonah didn't sit there and plant the gourd in the first instance. The gourd wasn't even there. God provided the gourd for Jonah. And so God takes it away, and then Jonah said, yeah, I'd rather be dead. I mean, I'm angry, and you took the gourd. I was happy for a minute because you provided me with a gourd for shelter, and you took it away, now I'm angry again. Then God said, thou wouldst have pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Now, God is giving Jonah an illustration here. He's telling Jonah, well, you're going to be angry for this. This gourd wasn't there. You didn't do anything to grow it. It came up in the night, and it went in the night. But yet, you have pity, and you're angry. And God says, and should not I spare Nineveh, the great city wherein are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Now, what is God telling Jonah here? I sent you to proclaim this for a reason. I have a people there. I have a people who cannot discern the right hand from the left hand. They were in a pickle. They didn't know what they were doing. And we say, well, we think that, well, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. God has a people in this world today who cannot discern their right hand from their left hand. Right. You know, brethren, God has a people that way, brethren. And so if we, brother, if we are set to proclaim the good news of the gospel to a people who cannot discern the right hand from their left hand, it doesn't matter what we think they may be doing. It doesn't matter what we think they might understand. If God sends you, brethren, he sends you for a purpose, and that is what he's telling Jonah. I sent you there for a reason. I sent you there because I have a people. And those people, my people, could not even discern the right hand from their left hand. But I, the Lord thy God, I will provide a messenger for them that they might understand the truth. And when they did understand the truth, what did that city do? It repented and turned unto God. That was the whole purpose, you see. God loved the people. Even though Jonah appeared to think that it wasn't worth his while. Imagine God's ministers today, those that are blessed with the truth, thinking that it wasn't worth it their while to share that truth with God's people. It doesn't matter if the people he sends you to don't understand or cannot discern. Understanding and discernment coming from God. We're just a messenger. Jonah was just a messenger.
Amen.
The Spirit of Almighty God moved over that city, and moved it to repentance. Just as it moves over you and I, brethren, when we find ourselves in that same way. You know, we may think that, well, we'll never need that messenger. We might think that we never will need to make that proclamation. My counsel would be, don't think. We just do what God bid us to do.
Amen.
We simply just trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And we lean not upon our own understanding, but we acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he shall direct our paths. Blessed be his name.
Amen. Amen. sweet one, brother. Someone find a hymn. Just feel like the Lord has richly blessed us this morning, and I feel like the things that need to be said have been said.